visit. So
anyway, first up, DMCC board meeting update. Mr. C, I take it you'll be stepping us through that?
I will. Thank you.
Hold it up until I got here.
Yes. Technology held me up until you got here.
Sir, that's good. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yes, yes.
All right, have at it.
Thank you, Council President, members of.
He's not City Council. I know you're looking for him.
And we appreciate this opportunity to provide you a periodic update. Specifically, we've tried to schedule these immediately following the DMCC board meetings. And so, while we've been a couple of weeks since we had that DMCC board meeting, this was the first opportunity available on your agenda. And I send regrets from Lisa Clark. She is out of town today. Otherwise, she'd be here to join in this presentation. And just to acknowledge that Bill Monbank and Kevin Bright from the DMC staff are here as well. Should you have any questions, they may join me in responding to any questions. What I thought we would do is walk through the topics that we covered at the DMCC board meeting and respond to any questions that you might have. And so with that, the DMCC board appreciates hearing an update at each of their meetings on progress with respect to projects underway. And we start out with this illustration that shows the number of projects at various stages in the pipeline, from those that have been recently completed and under construction and in pre-development. Some 21 projects. There are a number of those projects, a handful of those projects, that were specifically supported via the DMCC process. And so just a brief update on each of those. The first being the Titan Hilton Hotel on Broadway. You know this to be a 264-hotel room project with 630 parking spaces, much of which are public parking spaces, and 15,000 square feet of retail. You have watched it come out of the ground, and it is moving along quite rapidly. They were pouring the concrete for the 11th floor about 10 days ago. They will be installing temporary roofing in December so they can continue working throughout the winter. There are presently 120 people working on site, and they expect to have more than 300 people on site once the project is in construction as early as the first quarter of this calendar year. When I say full construction, I mean they've begun to close off the envelope of the building itself. A lattice. This is the apartment building on 2nd Street. It is 347 apartment units, 560 parking spaces associated with the project. So there aren't necessarily any public parking other than parking associated with the retail needs, 21,000 square feet of retail. This is a $115 million project. There is tax increment financing support that was supported by DMCC and by this body. They have been working on and have secured their financing. We'll be closing on that financing in December. And while you see the site work underway, the demolition of the properties and the pollution remediation, their official groundbreaking, if you will be in mid-December after they have locked up all of their financing. And they will they have some ideas about how to keep this project as it progresses in front of the public eye. Urban on First, this is the new development that is a partnership between Titan and Opus out of Minneapolis. I should just point out with Well, this project, as you know, is a, it's called Tilt Titan Hilton, at least that's the term that's now being used for it, and it is a joint venture with Titan and Harbor Bay out of Chicago. Lattice is a Minneapolis-based developer who worked with local property owners on this project. And Urban on First is a joint venture between Titan and Opus out of Minneapolis. This is on First Avenue. It's an important part of the redevelopment of that First Avenue spine as we think about connecting from really from Center Street all the way down to Broadway, actually all the way from, if you think about the First Avenue flats on First Avenue and Civic Center Drive, the spine First Avenue going all the way down eventually to Soldiers Field where the University of Minnesota campus expansion will happen. So this is an important leg in that. It is 156 unit apartment building, market rate, with parking associated with it, and 9,000 square feet of retail. $38 million project. We have been through the entitlement process. Their financing is likewise secured, expecting closing in January and groundbreaking immediately thereafter. And finally, I will mention the Mortenson project. Again, it's something you're well familiar with, Mortenson being a Minneapolis-based developer. Its groundbreaking was on November 2nd. Many of you participated in that. Thank you for doing that. And $35 million project. We've seen that construction move along quite quickly. They're excavating now. And their financing is, they've secured their equity financing. And they're in aggressively in the marketing and tenant recruitment phase. So I might just pause with these projects to see if there's any questions about any of the projects.
Mr. Campion.
Just some feedback. I love the check boxes because it seems like there's some consistency. One other presentation format for this particular data going forward would be if we have those consistent checkpoints to see other projects that yet haven't started or where they're at in this process, I think that's super helpful. So I just wanted to give the feedback that I think that's a good way for us to talk about the totality of investment that's happening because the DMC is to look at where each project is in the phases there.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right, continue forward.
Then we provided a presentation on public realm initiatives that we are involved with. And there are four that we have been involved with support from DMCC. And they are Heart of the City, Chateau, St. Mary's Place, and Discovery Walk. And I'll just describe a bit about each one of those. So Heart of the City, you've all seen the work that's been presented thus far of the design for the public space of Heart of the City. What we have said to the DMCC board is there is more work to be done to ensure design of that public space with, in particular, the work going on with Chateau Theater, with Wells Fargo that's being acquired, and with the next Titan Harbor Bay project, the Michael Site project. So we've also said that there is work that needs to be done to try to identify the project priority and phasing and construction timetable, knowing that it's unlikely we would do the entire project all at one time, that we would need to identify and secure funding streams and a financing strategy that goes beyond, that looks at sources beyond only DMC or public sources, and to develop a governance and management and operations program. We know that capital investments like this need to be maintained and programmed and operated going forward, and we want to have that plan solidly in place. We also said that there is a preliminary CIP authorization in the CIP that they were presented, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but that authorization was, as I said, preliminary, and that wouldn't be spent until there was another review by DMC and certainly by the city.
Do you have any kind of sense when that first project design things, what kind of timetable of thinking? You know, everybody's, and there's reasons that we can't say a whole lot yet about some of this, but is there any kind of timetable when you think maybe?
Yeah, so let me talk about that.
Okay.
You know, let me just pick up on that. It's a good segue. So the second of the four public ground projects is Chateau Theater. Of course, this DMCC and the city authorized the purchase of the Chateau Theater. The mayor has led a task force to recommend a plan for its reuse. The result of that task force is recommending it being a multi-purpose performing arts center. Having said that, we know there still needs to be a strategy to diversify capital funding for this. That, again, there may be sources other than DMC. To help pay for the capital improvements that would be required, that there, again, needs to be a sustainable management and programming and operations plan. Again, wouldn't want to put the capital in without knowing how the project is going to be managed and programmed going forward. This idea that the mayor is referencing the relationships between adjacent development, this is a very active conversation between the party that is prepared to purchase Wells Fargo. I think it's public knowledge that Wells Fargo is selling its real estate in downtown Rochester. They want to make it clear, and I'll just say for the record, they remain very committed to Rochester. Wells Fargo has no intention of leaving Rochester or downsizing its presence here. This is a real estate transaction where they are divesting themselves of some real estate, not just here, but in other parts of the country as well. The buyer of that project is very interested in working with us, with the city, around how to position a refreshed Wells Fargo building in a way that takes advantage of the interests of the Chateau. And they have been working actively and closely with us to put pen to paper about how that could look. For example, are there some of the services Chateau needs that presently, without this opportunity, might be underneath the alley? Mm-hmm. Is there a way to put some of those services up in the Wells Fargo building at less, you know, where it would be more functional, less expensive? And it's a very active discussion and one that they're working with us and with the city staff on in good faith. Again, we said to the DMCC board that there's preliminary authorization being requested in the CIP budget, but none of that money would be spent without coming back to it before moving ahead.
I would say those discussions are ongoing. We'd like to bring the Chateau back to you as soon as we can, but it would be kind of in haste to do so until we finish off those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
With the adjacent buildings, it just seems to make sense to see how it fits in with those, and so we're letting those play out, and then we bring it back to the the Chateau Advisory Board has passed on this point and said they would still like to see it as a multi-purpose performing arts center, recognizing they still have not, in their mind, even the governance issue had not been resolved, but thought at this point they should move that on to you folks to look at those issues in more detail. So we'll bring that back as soon as we can resolve some of these issues regarding those adjacent properties. And then you can make a decision however you want to proceed on this, as can the DMCC board.
Mr. Campion?
I just ask for some runway. So before, if we're going to schedule, let's give 3 or 4 weeks notice and get the proposals out so we can take a good solid look at what's coming forward before. Because sometimes we run into those issues where we only had a week to review it. It's a rush, so I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Mr. Wojcik?
I appreciate Wells Fargo's comments about their commitment to the community. If you could relay it to them, if they would build a 35-story office tower, it'd be a little bit more heartfelt.
39. That's good. That's great.
39.
39.
about St. Mary's Place. We presented to you a couple of weeks ago the work that's been going on with St. Mary's Place, and this is really focused on the public realm of St. Mary's, primarily the streets and sidewalks, subway connection. And so at this point, what we talk about doing is sharing these design concepts with upcoming projects, such as one of your own, which is the design of Second Street itself, and any private development that is forthcoming. There may be opportunity for temporary demonstration projects to test out ideas. And then in the CIP, there is a request for support for some of the improvements that would be really to help improve the identity and street furniture and street banners in the district. This beginning to knowing that it may be sometime before street reconstruction happens, are there opportunities to start improving the experience in the district, if only through, again, street banners and identity and street furniture?
Can I comment? Do you have a comment any further on that?
Go ahead.
Okay. When we brought this matter forward, and I didn't say this candidly, there was some discussion that it seemed to be taken more as a final plan rather than a concept level plan. So there is still flexibility in this. I think there's some things in the plan that are the main focus. We were involved in all those discussions with the groups and with the EEA. And I think the main items that were kind of more consensus items, more priorities, were the tunnel crossing the street, the potential for the wider right-of-way, the potential, and I say potential because none of these are givens yet, the potential for an arcade and the potential for greater amenities. I think there were a number of things in the plan that were concepts that were not as highly agreed upon, at least in the staff's view. And those were things such as mid-block connections, where the staff threw the term in, if feasible. Same thing with restoring alleys. There's a couple places where there's already structures that cross the alleys, and those structures are going to last 30 or 40 or 50 years. And obviously, restoring those alleys isn't feasible unless those parking lots were to be gone. Tabletop streets, I think the jury's still out on that from the public works perspective, and specific locations for plazas and pocket parks, which are needed, but the locations of those I don't think are specifically defined. So at least from the perspective of the staff members who worked on it, I did want to make the point that it is a concept level plan more than it is a cast in concrete plan at this point for this area.
Mr. Wojcik?
And we do need to quickly go from a conceptual plan to some actual specific right-of-ways. My understanding is Public Works
is working
on some of that.
Yep.
But I want to specifically point out, too, there's a big difference between, you know, an understanding that, yes, we're not going to tear down an existing structure that blocks off a previous alleyway. There's a big difference between that and giving up alleyway space that we're entitled to right now. And I think it's, you know, what I took from that plan is let's not give away alley space anymore because it makes for good access.
Yep, the plan doesn't say we for sure are going to take away alleys if there's good projects that end up crossing alleys.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue. I think there's some developments that are likely to be proposed in that areas where the alleys are already blocked that may basically say we can maximize the site better.
Is there?
The alley isn't restored, at least right now, when it can't be restored. So
there's only one block there where the alley doesn't exist, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, so.
Right.
One block is up in the air.
Mr. Campion?
So if I may, I mean, the idea of maximizing the land is always going to involve taking of the alley, right? So at some point, I think we have to put behind the plan what our priority, particularly when I saw that and my discussion points were always, this is an embodiment of what we think the priorities are. Now you have to justify diverging from this versus us buying your convergence onto this plan. That shouldn't be.
I would say there was really, in my opinion, there was very little consensus on that matter. And I'm pointing that out because there were some people who thought that was a good idea. There were quite a lot of others. And I wouldn't want you to take that plan as saying those are consensus agreed upon items that are totally recommended to the council, because I'm not sure they would be at this point.
And I would turn around specifically because the alley is near and dear to my heart, because that has to do with the quality of the interface of the building to both the main street and the neighborhood, as well as the pedestrian safety on those blocks too, by putting the access in an appropriate place. So I want a, you know, a pretty good detailed list from staff on who exactly is opposed to the alley concept. I think that's something that needs to be out in the open so we can address it head on.
Well, my point is, I don't want you to take a plan, a concept level plan that this was, as more than it really was, which is the impression I got at the last meeting, and I should have brought it up at that time.
I think that's a good thing to point out. So from, I just want to kind of move past this because I don't want it to become too contentious when you kind of maybe agree that what was presented might have been conceptual. But clearly, to go from conceptual to having projects submitted that adhere to whatever our conceptual guideline is there a step there, or is staff's recommendation basically leave this conceptual and see what comes forward?
I think the staff's level would be leave it conceptual and see what comes forward.
I think on top of that, I think the conversations that will happen now with DMC, us, and Richard's working on design, I think that'll inform some of it, so maybe more than just completely conceptual, because we are going to want the council to help us do that, because of future projects we bring here, we're going to need some guidance.
I prefer not to debate conceptual level adherence at every project that's going to come through on Second Street. So the earlier that we agree, whatever the consensus is here for what the guidance should be for Second Street and what we can get the DMCC board to agree to, I would prefer to have that as at least a structured framework that then people can come through and say, we have 6 of 10 points, we're going to bring that forward knowing that we missed 4, or whatever it's going to be. To me, that's far more structured and far more likely to bring the debate away from conceptual into, you know, tactile, where do we have agreement with our platform is. So I don't know if the EDA has a stance on that.
Yeah, I would just say this. This is intended to be the public realm of the district, the publicly owned property of the district. And you actually get to decide on how you design Second Street and how you design 13th Avenue and how you design 12th Avenue. And so I think the less of the onus is on the private property. Sometimes we wait for a developer to tell us what to do, but this is the public space that we're talking about. And you will lead by example, I believe, as it comes forward. And I think it's also important to note that the team working on St. Mary's Place from that neighborhood, from that geography, the businesses and property owners in the neighborhood, really are looking at it from one point of view, their lens of how, but they don't necessarily have the whole system. They don't necessarily, aren't responsible for the whole system of how transit and transportation needs to work and how street corridors need to work. So in a way, these concept plans do become the transparency that it is the foil against which decisions are made. And a development will come forward, perhaps, that will test the assumptions of this concept plan. And I think that's fair and appropriate, but you should be prepared for that. Hopefully that happens more at the staff level than before it comes to you. But these are back and forth discussions that have to happen between good faith, you know, in good faith with partners. But it really does start with you in many ways. This is the public realm we're talking about.
And it ends with you.
For the public realm. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's a dereliction of our responsibility as the citizens of Rochester if we simply throw our hands up and wait for someone else to come design it by proposing projects along the way. That will be a problem that leads to inconsistent, you know, behavior, inconsistent design, inconsistent application of our tax dollars. So, okay. It seems like I'm not hearing a conclusion about where it's going to be. So I'd like to just table this and move past it and revisit it at the end of the meeting if we have time, but I think, you know, hammering away at this right now isn't getting the result I want. I want to know where this is going to go next, mm-hmm. Prior to projects coming forward, if mm-hmm. that makes sense to everyone.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions? Otherwise, we can move forward. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I know my time is limited given the other presentations you have. The last of the four public realm areas that we've been working on is Discovery Walk, and this is Second Avenue. This is the term referred to that describes Second Avenue. from 2nd Street to Soldiers Field. We've just kicked off this process. This is the avenue that runs adjacent to the new Mortenson building, if you can picture that geography. We've just kicked off that process. Similarly, there is a process going on for the redesign of 4th Street, and we know those two projects intersect both figuratively and literally, and we expect to be bringing schematic design forward to you in the end of this calendar year, or more likely early into 2018.
Mr. Bilderbeck.
Patrick, who's all involved in the Discovery Walk?
Discovery Walk. The design effort is being led by our same team that did Heart of the City, so it's really extending the Heart of the City concept from, and think Annenberg Plaza to the south. I mean, not that it will look like Annenberg Plaza, but it's the RSP team, and the city and ourselves looking with the community members.
I would like to know when they're meeting them. If I'm available, I'd like to be able to
attend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And literally just getting mobilized.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, again, looking at the clock, there was a set of slides that Beth Bars from SRF, your transportation team member, presented. That is a recap of the current status of the integrated transit studies. I don't think that we'll use time today to walk through this, but they're available. Richard is here as well, but I think that we would intend this to come as a fuller discussion to this body, not covering it now, but I just wanted to acknowledge that it did come in front of the DMCC. It's your pleasure if you want me to spend any more time on this.
I think you hit the nail on the head, though.
I'm sorry?
I think you hit the nail on the head. We probably want to spend a lot more time on it than we got for it.
It's a complex topic.
There is a calendar that I wanted to highlight so that you can see the upcoming schedule for this process. Okay? And then we've begun working on our metrics dashboard. So I just want to acknowledge the time. So I don't know how you would like to you'd like me to proceed. I think that I've used up the time available. So
how much more do you have?
We have the metrics dashboard so that you can see the. We have a plan for how we can start tracking and reporting on the five goals from the development plan.
Mm-hmm.
These are the five goals that are authorized out of the development plan, and we have a strategy how we can report it. And we've begun building that model. So there is a dashboard for each one of those five.
Is that information available on the website now? Is the dashboard available?
It should be with the board package that we're posting.
So I think it's on there with the board package, but it's probably not in its own
I guess I'm very interested in the topic, but perhaps if you could notify us when that becomes available on the website, because I understand that is the intention, and I'd maybe after seeing it and what's available and what's not available, follow up at that point.
Great, thank you. So quickly on this, there's five goals, one of which is to create a comprehensive strategic plan. That is not a static document, the development plan. It is a living document, and you can see by this work that we've continued to refine it and develop more granular sort of chapters to it. We said second goal to leverage public investment to attract more than $5 billion of private investment. It's roughly a 1-to-10 ratio of public support leading to private development. And through 2017, we in fact have been on track. Roughly 8% of public resources have generated 92% of private investment. This is a slide that helps to demonstrate how our marketing and outreach is it feeds the pipeline that leads to private investment and private development. You've seen these slides. We have clear metrics on the number of the amount of square footage and the market demand that we're trying to respond to, both in apartments and hotel and retail and office and life science. So we are monitoring that very closely. Job growth, third goal is job growth in Rochester. We've been on track as a community with more than 1,500 jobs a year, 3,200 in the last 2 years. Growth in tax base, this is still work in progress in terms of the best way to capture that and reflect that. And fifth goal is around achieving the highest quality patient, companion, visitor, employee, and resident experience. And we're working with many partners on that. This slide just attempts to illustrate that. Finally, I wanted to, other than Councilmember Wojcik's comments about metrics and when we pulse that, are there anything else you'd like to say about that? Finally, I just want to say you've also approved our CIP budget, so I don't need to go through all of this, but the CIP budget, which is broken down into streets and sewers, transportation, public realm, operations, and private development. There are 31 initiatives. I think all of them come back to you, but DMC, only some of them come back to DMC. It is leveraging some other city money, city utility funds. And just as an order of magnitude, the 2018 CIP is about 40% streets and sewers and 30% transportation, 17% public realm, 14% operations. So I won't go through any of these unless people are interested in any of the details, but this was work that we did, led by Gary and his team, and worked closely with them to develop the entire CIP list that is being authorized for 2018. It was approved unanimously by our board and then was approved by City Council last week.
All right, any questions? It is an update, and I'm sure we will receive additional information, obviously, as the weeks and months go by, so we'll have lots of opportunities as things start to come together. Other questions or comments, though, from the council?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, thank you.
I have hard copies of this presentation. I'll leave with Gary if anybody wants.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next up, we have Graham Park Fairgrounds update. Mr. Miller, Mr. Flint, can you give us that update?
He handed out these in grand, so make sure you give it a second check here.
Always a skeptic.
Oh, is this for the last one? That's
because
of the
yeah. Okay, let's turn here. We have overall the project summary with Graham Park and the Regional Event Center. We put a capital investment in. Our capital investment has been reflected by Mr. County to make a strategic improvement to transform Graham Park into a self-supporting venue offering year-round facilities with a wide variety of activities for the local region interests. Graham Park will offer affordable, accessible options for event planners and participants not served in the current venues in the region. Homestead County anticipates having design completed for 2018. Just kind of walking through this handout, a little background. Graham Park sits on 68 acres, hosts a wide variety of different venues, Graham Arenas, the four ice rinks there. We have a number of historical structures, eight buildings. We have the parking lots that do the parking rides. And then we have the campground out there too. And over the years, we've had a number of groups look at Graham Park. going back to the LGR, I think it was 2008, kind of had the conceptual design for Grant Park. And then from there, we had two other work groups in 2013-15 that looked at kind of what to do with Grant Park to utilize it by the community more. And both groups came back with the reconfiguring of Grounds 1 and 2 to make them more user-friendly in the off-season, and then more green space for community events. And in 2016, we formed the Grant Park Development Committee, made up of 10 community members that looked at Grant Park and how best to redevelop it to make it a community asset that is accessible and affordable. Also last year, we set up a feasibility work group, and we worked with Convention Sports and Leisure International, which the County and Sports Commission contracts with to look at the best options for Grant Park. And then from that, we got the CBSL report, and that's where we put that request in for $10 million to reconfigure Grams 1 and 2, so that'd be eliminating Gram 1, building two new arenas that run east and west, so when it's not hockey going on, you can open up a dividing wall and have one large 60,000-plus square foot climate-controlled dry floor space for like events that are expanding, like Gold Rush, the Rodeo, ability to host equine events. And then the other part was to develop a community festival park, which would be a plug-and-play, somewhere that your different festivals to come into town, art festivals, pads that have electric and water. And just, I mean, it's all conceptual right now. It's just a place for community gathering. And basically, yeah, I'll show the handout here too. So this is the layout that CLS did. Retaining our existing historical buildings, kind of upgrading those. That's what we're kind of working on now. We'll be working on building 35, updating that. That's the one that's a Harold Crawford building. And we're also working on Oral Hall, which is a WPA building. And then upgrades to Grand Marina, that'd be the reconfiguring of that. Looking at the hospitality and pro shops and all that, kind of just to upgrade that so we don't lose our market share of that venue. And then with that, we'd be adding into the multi-purpose facility. Parking both stays the same. Community park we developed on 12 acres, kind of where the midway is now, where the gravel lot is, all the way through the infield of the grandstands. Reconfiguring the grandstands, or relocating them to the southern edge, and then putting in a new parking lot, kind of where the carnival midway would take place, and also could be utilized as future parking lot too. And then I think we can go into the master plan. We're looking at doing a master plan for Grant Park this year. And with that group, we have a subcommittee with that one. It consists of Paul Whitman from Manchester Park and Rec. We have Steve Williams from Blue Planet. Gail Eady, who was on the Historical Preservation Commission. Helen Monsey's with the county, and it's chaired by Matt. And Matt can talk about some of the deferred maintenance, and also we have some of the pictures of Grant Marina on here too, and structural conditions.
So I'm Matt Miller, Director of Facilities and Development Operations with Homestead County. Steve Flint, if you didn't know. So I started about 6 months ago, and one of the things that I did when I first started with the county is went around and toured all the county buildings. We have 108 as the latest count, so took a look at them and just did cursory reviews of some of the deferred maintenance needs in the buildings. One of them that was obvious to me was Graham 1 was in need of some attention. So we have some pictures there on the back of the one handout that just shows you some of the existing conditions of Graham 1. It was built back in the 1970s.
68.
A little older than I thought. And based on the building construction, you can imagine at certain times of the year it's warmer inside than it is outside, and there's also times where it's cooler inside. So that temperature differential causes issues with concrete masonry construction. And some of those issues are becoming evident with the degradation and just some of the issues that we're seeing. So we had a building envelope specialist look at the building to see what can we do. And we have two options. One is we can skin it with metal panels. The second is to put an EIFS system or a stucco type system on the outside of it and insulate it. As part of that, we also had a structural engineer take a look at it just to make sure there's no structural issues. We want to make sure that it's safe to occupy. And his opinion is it's safe to occupy, it's safe to use. Most of this is just aesthetics that we need to take care of, and
secure for the future. So on those pictures, you can see the blue spiders. That is the most immediate concern, and that's on the south side of the building, right alongside the sidewalk. So there is potential there for some of that concrete to fall off of the building. It is in pretty tough condition, so we'd like to stabilize that to begin with, and then look at a long-term fix to it. Unfortunately, the long-term fix is in the $700,000 to $1 million range to be able to put a new building envelope on this entire building. So as part of the redevelopment strategy, we have to weigh the pros and cons of that when we're looking at future construction and how long we can keep maintaining the building the way that it is.
So let me ask, was my understanding that in the plan that one of the existing arenas would be potentially replaced with a building that could host two of the rinks? We go from four to five rinks out there on that?
No, we'd you could have the ability to do that if we don't take down two. Because one of the plans, we're still
okay.
Looking at it.
Gotcha.
So you could one and two, Grand Marina two up. You can either use it as a dry floor and then fix some of the problems with that.
Okay.
Or you could use it as a different,
So both one and two are in pretty tough shape.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just in general, for all county buildings, we're doing a facility condition assessment just to see where we stand as far as labor maintenance on all the county buildings. So that'll shed some light on where we stand as well at Grand Park and all the buildings and what we need to do to bring them up to speed.
So you had how many buildings?
108, the last count.
How many do you have in the V3 benchmarking at the state?
Not 108.
Is that something really you guys are pursuing?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's something that we're working on. So our traditional buildings, when I say traditional, they're the office buildings, maybe not a storage building or a zoo building. I think we have close to 25 in V3 right now, and we're working on that benchmarking to see. We have room for improvement.
Good now.
Okay. Yes. All right, Mr. Bobeck.
Steve, currently, when you do the Olmsted County Fair, how much room does that take? I mean, you're talking about a 3.5-acre midway. Is that going to put the food booths?
So when we did this, we looked at, look at the midway the way it is now. That's about that size, what they need, what they utilize out here, carnival rides, and kind of how when we design the festival park, you design a new, basically, food row. Mm-hmm. And then the old food row could go into more commercial vendors and things like that. Mm-hmm.
You talked about $10 million to replace Graham 1 and 2?
$10 million and it would match with the county $10 million.
So you're asking the city for a $10 million deal?
County.
Just county?
No, yeah. They're not asking us for anything.
Well, let's just check.
But if you want to give us
I want to make darn sure where we're at.
None to get.
You know what, we'll cover about 80% of that with our tax base.
Currently, yeah.
All right, any other questions? All right.
Steve, you know about this, but Mark's not here today, but, you know, youth hockey has a vested interest in those arenas, so you're making sure that you're keeping their interest and them as part of this conversation.
Once we get, we talk to Hickey, and then once we get to more of the design, the nuts and bolts of all this, and then we'll be bringing on youth hockey, the school districts, and all the users of these buildings together to help with designing our plan.
I think also exploring future opportunities. So curling is something that's been discussed recently here in Rochester, so I think there's other opportunities out there we want to make sure we're aware of.
Mr. Mayor?
They're making a lot of money on their ads that are on the thing on the corner mm-hmm. there. I used to be able to see when I look up there what's going on in there. Now I just know that Roscoe's has got a deal. So you must be making
Roscoe's
a lot of
doesn't
money
have a deal
to take
anymore.
Care of that $10
million. Roscoe's doesn't have a deal anymore.
That's why they're giving deals.
One comment as I was looking at your list, I like the fact that you're considering some other amenities like food and beverage and things that would make the fairgrounds more of a destination. I know that as I was talking with some folks that have visited other curling arenas where the dining facilities are at an elevated level so that you can overlook the arenas and see what's going on the curling or maybe a hockey game or whatever, and it makes it more of a venue, a destination venue, rather than just go to the event and then have to go find somewhere else to eat and so forth. So I like the fact that you're looking at this from a master plan perspective. Mr. Wojcik?
A couple of one of the big picture items out there, and there seems to be a disconnect from what I'm hearing with county officials and what I'm seeing in the DMC plan in terms of the what is the future of Grand Park in terms of a potential park and ride site? Because the DMC plan right now and the transit planning is saying pretty heavily that's one of the enclosed sites where there'll be a substantial amount of park and ride parking. And kind of what I'm hearing from the county is no, that's not the case. And I'm curious how we're going to resolve that difference or what the plans are in terms of parking availability.
Because one of the talks we're looking at the city or about, I think Richard brought up freeze, was using the old highway shop maybe as a transit hub and building a parking ramp in the northeast quadrant over there, kind of where the shop is right now.
Is that is the site big enough for a double stack or a ramp?
It's a good size area. I mean,
okay. It's
been preliminary talk. We think that's down the road quite a ways.
Oh, I mean that, and it's I don't have one way or the other that I'm pushing on this. I just want to know what the answer is. Is this going to be a park and ride site or is it going to be somewhere else?
And we're looking at the city public works come and talk to our Grand Park Development Committee in one of our upcoming meetings to talk about the transportation.
Okay.
All right. Well, anything else?
One of the other things I'd like to suggest is I'm a little bit disappointed that we as a group never got a chance to talk about bonding proposals. I think that's something that we had hoped to do as a group, talk about some priorities. We have one project that's out there, and it was going to come back to us, but I think that ship has sailed at this point. Given the fact that we have one project and bonding at the state, and it's not going to probably pursue the same funds as this particular project, I would just ask that we put together a letter of support in support of the county's project. They're not asking us for anything, but I think it would be one small thing that we could do to show support to their project.
Yeah. They're not asking for anything yet.
Well, then we say you got yours. But I don't. Would that be okay with the council if we put an RCA together for an official letter of support?
Mm-hmm. I would have no issue with that.
All right.
Appropriate. All right. Anything else, gentlemen? Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much for the update.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the Chester Woods Trail Link. Discussion and update on that. Public Works. Mr. Freeze.
I hope we get to see some drone footage. I'm going to kick this off with Brian Malm with Bolton make the presentation today. Brian has been working with John Wallner on this project, and you know John isn't with the city longer, but. Brian was the project manager for Bolton Mink, and this project began back in actually 2015 when you authorized us to apply for some grant funds. We've been successful in applying and receiving $990,000 in grant funding, which puts us on the schedule and that was laid out in the document that was sent out to you. We're basically evaluated 9 different routes and combinations of routes, and we're down to 2. And both of them are rather expensive. Both of them require a significant amount of right-of-way acquisition. And we're at the point now, in order to meet our schedule, one, we're going to have to pick a route, and second, we're going to need the council to authorize the use of eminent domain, if necessary, to secure the necessary right-of-way for these routes. So Brian's going to bring that up. He does have... we've taken the opportunity to use new technology in the form of a drone to fly the routes. They're both it's both 20 minutes, so we're not going to show you the entire flight, but show you some snippets and highlights of the corridors. And with that, I'll turn it over to Brian.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Richard. I have a presentation, and we do have some videos. As the name would indicate, this project is a trail link to connect with Chester Woods Park. It's a small link in a series of trails that will ultimately get to Chester Woods Park. This map shows the existing city trail system. The red trails are the designated regional trails with the Douglas State Trailhead in the northwest part of the city, and the existing trail system terminating down in the southeast part of the city here. This location is the Eastwood Golf Course, right at the entrance to the clubhouse building. The DNR has secured right-of-way for a DNR trail out to Chester Woods Parks. so they've secured this right away. And this is 50th Avenue at 19th Street. So the trail we're talking about is a connection between this point where the DNR trail would stop and where the existing trail system terminates at Eastwood Golf Course. The project has regional significance. It would be a segment of the regional trail system. As mentioned, it would connect the Douglas State Trail and the City Trail networks to the DNR, Chesterwoods Trail, and ultimately to the park. The DNR trail hasn't been built yet, but they have secured the right-of-way, and it is planned for the future. They have been actively trying to secure funding for that construction as well. The route has been designated in the Rochester Area Master Plan as a priority project, one of your higher-cost priority projects. You have seen this project before, as Richard mentioned. You've applied for funding back in 2013 and 2014. You've received funding through the Transportation Alternatives Program, a little over $500,000, as well as $400,000 of DNR legacy funds for this project. When you submitted those applications, there was a route that was designated for the project. It involved an extension along Eastwood Road and then a cross-country route over to 50th Avenue, which is County Road 11, down to 19th Street. So there was an identified route when you submitted the grant applications. When we got involved with the project, one of the first steps we took was to look at the property ownership along the route. This map shows in green the original trail route that was identified in the grant application. The different colored blocks here show property parcels that are under single ownership. You see a large block of property in red under single ownership, and then a blue property under single ownership. And the original trail route cut right through the blue property and along the parcel line between the red and the blue property. So one of our first steps was to go out and visit with property owners. And we first went to visit with the property owner of the blue property. And when we sat down with them, we heard several things. They like multi-use paths and use multi-use paths, but as far as constructing a trail on their property, they were opposed to that and did not want to see that happen until the property were to be developed. They preferred construction, actually, of a trail, looking at a couple of different routes. They actually wanted to look at a trail along Bear Creek that actually extended out to 20th Street and Marion Road. They felt that would be a better trail to connect out to this area. And they also thought that options should be looked at to construct a trail up through the Eastwood Golf Course property up to this location through on the alignment of a previous general development plan through that area. So they had some other ideas, and they weren't interested in a trail on their property right now. So after we heard that, we said, well, okay, we've got a property owner who's not interested in a trail on their property, or there's some other routes we can look at. So we looked at shifting routes over to the west here to avoid their property. You can see this map shows the entire litany of trail options that we've looked at throughout the project. Some of these we looked at after we talked to the blue property owner, and those are some of these routes that run primarily through the red property owner's property to avoid the blue property. Well, why are they so curvy, and why aren't they a straight line? Why don't we follow property lines? Well, that has to do with topography. This map shows, you can hardly see it, but these show the contour lines. This is upland property. There's a lot of relief to this area, and these trail alignments try to follow the contour of the land to make the trail grades acceptable, to try to meet an ADA standard with the trail, which you are required to do with some of the funding programs that you have funding for this project. So there's not a straight trail route, and most of those alternatives to avoid the blue property took us directly onto the red property. So the next step, let's talk to the red property owner. When we sat down and visited with the red property owner, they indicated they preferred a trail alignment that minimized the amount of trail on their property. They wanted to look at an alignment that followed property lines, which we explained. We looked at that, and there were topography issues with following the property lines. We could not meet a trail grade that met standards by following property lines, so we had to meander the trail through their property. One of the major concerns they indicated they had was they their property for hunting, especially in that upland wooded area. And they had significant concerns with interaction between trail users and hunters on their property. The last piece of information we heard is that they indicated they may not accept any alignment through their property based on those hunting concerns. So hearing that, we went back to the drawing board again. We said, well, is there a way we can completely avoid both of these properties? And we looked at an alignment that would follow existing road right away. And this is Route E. Route E would start at the Eastwood Golf Course, follows Eastwood Road, but at this point, instead of cutting across country, heads north along 40th Avenue to Highway 14, then extends along Highway 14 until we reach this point. There's a significant wetland here. It meanders south in the wetland over to 50th Avenue, which is County Road 11. Goes back up, crosses at the signal, and runs down the east side of County Road 11. This would impact a couple other road authorities, so we went and we visited with MnDOT about their feelings about a trail along Highway 14. They indicated that they would be agreeable to a trail on the Highway 14 right-of-way as long as it was on the edge and the back slope of the ditch. Might involve some temporary easements, but there was not a roadblock there. We also visited with the county along County Road 11. We heard some significant concerns from the county about constructing a trail within that right-of-way. It's a narrow right-of-way. It's a rural section. There were drainage concerns, and this, as you know, is a significant north-south corridor with potential plans for expansion in the future, might be a significant north-south corridor. They had concerns about if we constructed a trail in the right-of-way, it would have to be relocated if County Road 11 expanded, and there would be costs associated with that. So if we were to build a trail along County Road 11, it would have to be outside the County Road right-of-way, and we'd have to acquire easements to construct that piece of trail. So hearing that, we went back again and looked at, well, we heard this property owner talk about development, and we became aware that there's existing right now a sewer line that runs through this property, and that's shown on this map, the green line. That sewer line was put in based on general development plans for these areas, and an easement was secured, 35-foot wide easement through those properties along the path of where development would occur in the future. That sewer line exists. So we developed another alternative that looked at going back to the cross-country route, but in this time, following that existing sewer easement that follows the path of where development would occur on those properties when it happens. We then took the whole litany of options to the Pedestrian and Bicycle Advisory Committee earlier this year. All of the routes were presented to the committee. The committee had a discussion on them, and ultimately they indicated a preference for Route F. It's a more direct route between point A and point B. It's a more pleasing ride because it stays away from the high traffic roadways. And actually, if you look at this route, it doesn't have the grade issues that some of these routes have. So it's a more pleasing ride. The committee indicated that if there was significant property acquisition issues along Route F, their second choice would be Route E, the on-road route. So, out of all that discussion and all those options, we have two alternatives that have risen to the top. We have the cross-country route, Route F, and we have the on-road route, Route E. Through this process, we also put these alternatives through an evaluation matrix, and I apologize, the screen's getting cut off here. But we did look at all these alternatives. We looked at property impact, we looked at safety, we looked at user enjoyment, and we also looked at economic considerations, ran them through an evaluation matrix. Route E and F rose to the top, slight preference to Route F. So again, this indicates that those are the two preferable options between the litany of options that we looked at. If you look specifically at property acquisition between these two, the cross-country route, Route F, the yellow parcels on this map indicate parcels where we would have to acquire permanent easement. So I mentioned that this route does follow an existing sewer easement, but we'd have to acquire additional rights to that property because we're doing surface improvements rather than just the underground improvements that exist there right now. So a significant number of parcels we would have to acquire right away from, mostly rural in nature right now. Route E, when we look at that route, again, we have several yellow properties. The difference between F and E, we have, these are mostly developed properties with homes on them. Okay, so the cost of easements there will probably be higher based on the property values there. But again, significant number of easements to acquire. And with both of these options, parcels to deal with, we're expecting to deal with the potential for condemnation with either of these routes. So we promised you some videos. First, we'll look at the Route F video. We shot these videos with a low-level drone. These are going to be short videos. We do have links to the longer videos if you want to see them. We can get those links out to you. So there'll be a location map here that will indicate. So this is Route F. This is along Eastwood Golf Course, heading looking to the east. Golf course is on the left. The trail would be along the north side of the road here. This is an existing piece of trail along Eastwood Road. This would be rehabilitated and widened from 8 feet to 10 feet. So a little less cost because we have a trail alignment there. Now we're heading across country. This is the sewer alignment. You can see the manholes. We have a little bit of grade to deal with as we move down into the valley, I guess you could call it. This is across the farm field. You can see the sewer manholes. So we would be running the trail along this alignment. We'd have some farming impacts. Obviously, they wouldn't be able to farm across that. Now we're heading to the east. Bear Creek is in here, so we'd be in the woods, skirting some wetlands here. That's 50th Avenue there in the background. Now we're on the east side of 50th Avenue. We'd have to bench the trail in here off the edge of the road. We have some power line impacts and such. And if I stop it right here, well, as you can see, there's curb and gutter in the foreground there. This section, we would actually add curb and gutter and make it more of an urban section with a trail up on top of the road. So that's Route F. We'll next look at the Route E video. So this one goes backwards. So we're going to start at 19th Street at 50th Avenue. We're looking north. We've got some wetlands on the east side here. The trail would be benched in off the edge of the road here, probably to avoid some of the wetland impacts. Now here we'd be up outside the county road right-of-way. We'd be out in here. We have some tree impacts and such along this route. You can see the signal at Highway 14 up there. Now we're looking, heading to the west. This is that large wetland that's in this area. So we'd be skirting the edge of the wetland. We're along Highway 14 now. The trail would be back up in here. We'd have some significant tree impacts, some utility issues. Again, we'd be up in here. We've got the Highway 14 ditch with some wetland there. You see the traffic on the roadways. Now we're on 40th Avenue, headed south. So this is the existing trail on 40th Avenue. We'll be widened to 10 feet. Got some grade issues here. The remainder of the trail would head back to the west along Eastwood Road on that trail section that we saw before. So that gives you a sense of where the trail would be on both of those routes. And again, we have a longer video if you'd like to look at those. From a cost standpoint, the total project cost would range between $1.4 and $1.9 million, with the low end being Route F and the high end being Route E. You have secured grant funds, $590,000 to the Transportation Alternatives Program in funding year 2019. That's important related to the project schedule. DNR funds in the amount of $400,000. The remaining costs would be picked up with tax levy. This is the cost breakdown, Route F. You can see the cost for construction, easement, engineering, total project of $1.4 million, as opposed to E, higher construction costs, higher easement costs, $1.9 million total. Funding, the grant funding available in equal amounts to both projects. The only difference being the tax levy amount, making up that $500,000 difference between the two alignments. Summarizing the two routes and the advantages and disadvantages, the Route F cross-country option, again, we talked about it from the pedestrian and bike committee. A more direct route, more pleasing ride, has a lower cost. Disadvantages, we know that the major cross-country property owners object to the route. We know that there are farming impacts, hunting concerns. We know that it's likely to require condemnation. The roadside option, Route E, it avoids those property owner objections, farming and hunting impacts, utilizes a greater length of existing trail along 40th here. But it's higher cost, it's a less direct route, less pleasing ride, and similar to Route F, it's likely to require condemnation. Project timeline, you did your funding applications in 2013-14. We've been looking at alternatives for the last couple of years on this project. If you chose a route today, or in the near future, we would proceed with preliminary design on that route. The critical path here would be right-of-way acquisition, knowing that we would likely have condemnation on either route. That right-of-way acquisition process typically takes a year. We'd be looking to get preliminary design done by next spring, so we know the exact easements we'd have to require, get that right-of-way process going so that we can meet an April 2019 acquisition date for possession of the property, which lets you hit a June bid date of the July construction time frame. The actual project memorandum, which is the environmental document required for the federal funding and the design, we've got time to do that, but it's the right-of-way acquisition that's on the critical path to meeting a 2019 bid date and construction start. So what are we requesting from council? We're requesting direction on which option to proceed with, which route. Route F, the cross-country route, or Route E, which is the roadside, and then we would like, Public Works would like support for staff to begin negotiating the acquisition of the property that supports that route, including the ability to come down if necessary for those easements that are necessary. That's the end of my presentation. Happy to answer.
All right, Ms. Johnson.
My first question is in regards to acquiring the property. Our first line would be to approach the property owner and ask to purchase it. Is that correct? Or is it jumping right into condemnation?
No, because this is federal aid process, there's a very regimented process you have to follow.
Okay.
To acquire the right of way. So there is a first you lay out what you're actually asking for. There's a notification to the property owner. There's meetings that take place. There's appraisals. There's the opportunity for the property owner to get their own appraisal. So there's a very regimented and public communication process with the property owners.
Okay.
Before you get the condemnation. Condemnation would be the last resort. And yes, there is an opportunity to purchase the property agreeably with the property owner prior to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Ruskin.
Can you go back to the near the beginning of the blue property that you looked at? So the path that you've got looked like it went, well, I thought the other one was kind of, they look like there's like some wetlands. So you go along the wetlands there?
So this is wooded area,
wooded area?
Where the
okay.
Upland Hill starts. The
right.
Original grant application hugged that tree line
right.
To minimize the farming impact. The Route F actually goes up in the sewer easement.
Right, that's what I was kind of getting at.
Okay.
Is I prefer us to try to do this if we can rather than go through the middle of the farming land.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me that seems somewhat reasonable and kind of giving the, you know, not disrupt. I can't imagine a path going right through a big farming field. So
yeah.
If we could keep it like that. So why is it on the other path, on the other finalized option there, why is it further to the north?
What I would say about these two locations is that we would keep both of those locations on the table as we're negotiating with the property owner for where that trail would be. There's no significant difference from a trail alignment standpoint to those two locations. If we can negotiate agreeably with the property owner for one location or another, we would do that. And whichever, if it's not agreeable, we would look at whichever is the lower cost option for those easements. So I would say this isn't out of the question. This is the one we show on alternative F, but they're both on the table when we're talking to that property owner.
All right,
okay, thank you.
Mr. Bilbaback, then Mr. Wojcik.
So the difference was the one you're following the sewer line, correct?
Correct.
And versus the other, my want would be to do the F and to try to negotiate and keep it more along the wooded line. I think that would be a better trail and better, more likely they would probably work better with us versus trying to take farm property. So I would, that would be my preference. I agree with Mr. Ruska to stay along the wood line, but that's the one I would suggest you talk to.
And eminent domain is never fun, and nobody really likes to be involved in it. You know, but I think if there's a, if they hear that the, you know, this is something we're going to move forward with, at least if it's on the table, we can, you know, at that point have a serious discussion about, okay, what's the best way to do it? And clearly the overland route is the better way. It's, there are three county parks, and we really don't have, you know, family-level access to any of the county parks. They're all outside of our trail system. This will be the first time we can actually access a county park by non-motorized means. And, you know, whichever way it comes down, it just seems pretty clear that the more attractive option happens to be the much more fiscally responsible option.
Mr. Newman?
I have a question on funding, Richard. Is this the CIP I'm looking for, thinking of an amount in that neighborhood of cost?
Yes.
Was it in last year's?
I think it's been in several years. I don't know what the projection is going forward, but...
I'd also
like to comment on the condemnation process. Is that, as was pointed out, every effort will be made to negotiate an arm's length relationship, using arm's length relationship, a fair price. If we can't and feel we need to, my suggestion is that we would come back to you at that point and advise you that we need to do this. I didn't want to get 6 months down the road, though, and then come and say, well, we need to condemn. I want you to be aware that we, in all likelihood, will need to do that for some parcels at some point in the future, and not hopefully be surprised when, if and when that happens.
This is, well, we saw the sewer line in there, so this is all future urban growth, probably, and I mean, I know in the short run it's, you know, probably not what some of the owners want, but in the long run this is something that creates value added to that land whenever they do sell.
Mr. Bilderbeck.
And I agree. I mean, I appreciate that, Richard, to have it come back to the council before if we have to do condemnation. I think that's very important.
Right. Mr. Ruskin.
Where is the city limits to the east?
Thank you.
City limits are actually over here.
Right. It's on the north side of 14. Otherwise, you get up to Eastwood Golf Course up in that
area. On the west side of the road.
Do we have order?
Yeah.
Deserves.
I don't have it. I don't have the line. Eastwood Golf Course.
Just east of Eastwood Golf Course. Or Red Mountain.
Something like this.
Yeah. It's quite a bit to the west of 50th.
Yeah. I think it's over in here.
Okay. All right.
All right, other questions, comments?
Do we have orderly annexation agreements with that township?
Not for that.
Okay, so that'll be part of some process in the future.
All the OE agreements we had with Marion Township have all been executed some years back as part of the water quality program.
Okay.
All right, anything else? Thank you very much. Very, Mr. Freeze.
So did we get a direction from the council on E or F?
F.
F. Sounds like F.
Thank you.
I mean, I would agree with the pedestrian committee that F and E is your fallback. All right, Ms. Johnson.
And would this be F with the potential of going back to A along the wooded area?
I would prefer that.
Preference.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The trade-off there is that the wooded area is the hunting land.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So staying out in the middle of the field is further away from the hunting.
Less likely to get shot.
So those will be the discussions that have kind of
the same
we've had already.
Okay.
So it's finding the happy medium.
Perfect. I just wasn't stuck on that.
So
thank you.
I realize y'all are not necessarily from hunting country, but me being a country bumpkin growing up would point out that it's important to realize that there is going to be hunting going on there. It's also important to realize that anyone who's out there hunting would never be in a situation, would never take a shot that would endanger someone like this, and if they are, they shouldn't be hunting anyway. So I get the safety concerns anytime firearms are involved, but I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between, you know, what responsible hunting is and what this impact would be.
This will be a blaze orange, blaze pink zone.
That's right. No antlers on your helmet.
That's right. Take your little things off yours, Michael.
That's right. It was stolen.
Mr. Ruska.
Richard, I have a question for you on this. Since this isn't city land and all that, I understand this is a big long-range plan, but we've got a lot of area in our city that isn't connected, like, you know, the area of Southwest. We hear a lot of questions about trying to connect to this trail system there, and it's too expensive and not done. So help me to understand why we're prioritizing going out to Chester Woods instead of connecting some of the areas of our city with the trails.
I think as Brian pointed out at the beginning, this is a link. This is the last link in the connection between the Douglas Trail on the northwest side of town and Chester Woods. So complete that. Try to close those gaps with complete these links. And I think for this particular circumstance, we've got almost $1 million of federal money right now. So it's either use it or lose it. You can't shift it to another project. So if you're right, you need to have it in Southwest. It's a high priority. It's going to be sitting on one of our lists for future grant applications.
Thank you. Just to clarify the funding, in this year's budget, there's $150,000 in taxes. And $500,000 in federal funds and $300,000 in Minnesota funds, state aid. That's to construct the trail from 14 to Bear Creek to East Circle Drive. And then there's a second project, 11 Trail from Town Club Road to Chesterwood Trail. Is that the one you're talking about at the present time? That's a 19 project in the
budget.
Yes. So you're not looking at $350,000 in taxes for this year.
No.
I said 19.
Project's 19.
Okay.
You just about gave him a heart attack.
You feel a lot better in the chat.
I saw the beads of sweat rolling down.
All right. One point also, that is another trail project that is scheduled for this for an 18. But again, there's grant money, and it's been approved, and so it does need to be funded in 18. That's the one along Highway 14 from just across from the post office out to RCTC along the north side of Highway 14. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What we're talking about today is the 19 project.
Correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. So, any other business for this afternoon? Ms. Downs?
I just want to be clear on where the comp plan ended up last week. Because there were some emails floating around, and I saw you sent something. I didn't get a chance to read it today. Is it on hold? Is it going to planning and zoning? I am just curious.
I think, as Mr. Atkins explained, legislatively, they have full authority to go ahead and hold their public hearing.
Okay.
So I assume they will
still
later this month. I think there's a question, and I'm just giving my own opinion, I think there's a question on how we review things going forward. There are some other stakeholders that might wish to comment, such as the county board or some of the township associations. So we need to figure out how we can gather that feedback, as well as have conversation among ourselves as we go through that process. And I know Councilmember Hickey talked about some sort of very deliberative approach, whether it's section by section or whatever. And I think that's where some of the questions come up. Some are feeling we could move this along more quickly. Others would like to take some time to thoroughly go through the document. Now that we have the complete document, I don't know if that helps you or not. That's just my viewpoint.
Yes and no. I mean, would they have an opportunity to have their feedback at the public hearing for planning and zoning?
Certainly. Public information, so anyone would have that advantage. Now, one could argue, again, just my opinion, if Planning and Zoning Commission has their public hearing, at the conclusion of that hearing, then they have a choice. They can approve it, deny it, or perhaps table it, so that they have a chance to gather and evaluate that additional feedback. They might choose to do that before they make a final decision, but that would be their call.
Okay.
logistically how they handle it. Mr. Newman?
I think Mitzi had some comments. She's back in the corner there hiding from us.
Smart.
Well, we have over 700 email addresses, people who signed up for information on this. Some of them actually include adjacent jurisdictions. It's not all City of Rochester residents. We've really been out there trying to inform adjacent jurisdictions and elected planning officials of the opportunities. The workshops we held in May were very thorough overviews of the plan itself, and all those individuals were invited to attend. The attendance was fairly low. We have received some written comments. We've not received anything that's showing up as a we're concerned, it's a red flag, let's not move ahead. Most of it's, maybe we can massage this wording, or we want more strong language around something that was identified. If there are particular stakeholders you're concerned about, I would really like to know who they are, because we need to know in order to be responsive, to reach out to them very specifically, and to invite them to the table. We can't make them come, though. If the council wants more time, we want to get on top of scheduling meetings with you, and making sure that we cover your interests and take the time to talk through the things that you might have some concerns about.
All right, and I appreciated in one of your emails that you're offering up opportunities for us to meet, one-on-one and so forth. The downside to that is we miss out on the group discussion, because I'm going to react to something Mr. Campion says or
positive,
vice versa.
Of course, right?
Yeah.
Always.
So I appreciate that opportunity. I can do that, but I think somewhere along the line we've got to be able to have that group interaction as well, Mr. Campion.
I would support that idea. I guess what I would like to see in terms of framework for doing that would be, instead of attempting to plod through the entire document, council members do the pre-work of laying out, here are the sections and here are the issues that I have, so that we can skip sections where there are no issues, and generally we're in agreement about how it works. I found the review of section one went relatively fast, because I think most of us kind of looked at this and said, yeah, this looks about like what we've been hearing all along for what they were going to produce. So if there does need to be, in I'm supportive of that entire document. Has been my bedtime reading for about 3 weeks as I've been getting through it, and I think it's a lot to digest. It's just it's a big document. It represents a generational kind of planning effort by our city. So if council members do desire that additional review, I'll be supportive of that, just as I feel I've received support historically for reviewing documents. I guess I would just ask that, instead of maybe prolonging it by having to plod through everything, we do that pre-work of, here are the sections that I have the issue with, here are my issues, I've enumerated them here, and if we can get that ahead of time so I can have a response developed to council member Hickey wanting a bike path in a particular part of town, or wanting something different, and wanting that as a priority as part of the document, I think that'll help alleviate a whole lot of pre-work and a lot of maybe less fruitful discussion versus having everyone ready to talk about the issues when we get here and to just work through them quickly.
Mr. Bilbeck?
And I think, Mitzi, I would like to see you send it, or at least notify the townships and county if they want to have a conversation, fine, but at least that way we're letting them know that it's there, you're willing to talk to them about it, and that way maybe we can get through this quicker as well.
Is there an appetite for the council to schedule maybe special cow meeting in December, so or two, that we can really work our way through this?
Well, one of the things we talked about last time, Mr. Ruska had brought up that on the first and third cow meetings of each month, those are a little more compact because of the evening meeting. So we could define either the second or fourth just meetings, cow meetings, for whatever. I'm not sure how many we would need. Because it's such a challenge to get everybody's calendar aligned. But that's time we could camp on and use for that comp plan discussion.
I would also, I'd emphasize what Mr. Campion said, is let's know what we're talking about. Let's know what the issues are and not keep this thing open-ended. Let's put it on the table and figure these things out so we can get a move on this. I counted up something like 30 different meetings that I've been where there's been an opportunity to comment. I'm on the mailing list. I know just about all officials are on that mailing list. The the meat of it's Section 2, which has been available for many months now. So, you know, if there's something coming up that people have had a long time to weigh in, and I'm curious why it's just coming up now. And then, you know, we certainly if we need to have some discussions or if there are some hang-ups that come out of our public hearing process, that's fine. But, you know, I do want to emphasize that this has been delayed for a very, very long time. And while I don't have major, I have some concerns, but no major concerns with the new document, I have 10 years of long meetings with the old document.
I would like to add to my previous point. My goal would be we would leave here with 7 council members that may not agree on the entirety of the document, but agree on the document. So that when it comes to late nights at the council meeting, there's not a question and we're not relitigating the entirety of the comprehensive plan every council meeting. And I think right now, the unfortunate reality of where we're at with our existing comprehensive plan is it becomes a debate every single time about the entirety of all of our zoning code because nobody's confident about where that particular plan is at. So I would rather tread that as a concerted effort to pass the comprehensive plan than to retread it 100 times after the fact, trying to, you know, everyone's pet issue, having to re-debate that. So if we can simply get a bulleted list of the council members in particular or particular issues and get that to Mitzi, and then Mitzi can do a determination of how much time that would take to cover, I would find that an incredibly expedient and hopefully a way to kind of cover everyone's issues before we have to have another 4 a.m. council meeting.
I'm not opposed to people providing that sort of enumerated or at least some idea of what the questions or concerns might be, but we would need to put a deadline on that to provide that feedback. But again, I want to talk about a way to feed or gather input from those other stakeholders who may wish to comment. Mr. Newman.
Yeah, I just want to remind you the first meeting in December is not a great month. First meeting is on budget. Second meeting is on budget. And then you're going to adopt the budget on the 18th. I don't think you'll need the 18th necessarily, but then you have the 25th is a Monday. So, you know, you really don't have many.
I'm not busy.
No. You don't have many Mondays in December. So it's kind of either getting going in November or some of this will probably wait until January. But an organized process would be good.
All the flexibility in the world. I mean, but if we don't have serious issues, if there are things that we just need to bring up, let's get them taken care of. I mean, I think the current plan was it would be on the 18th. But I agree with Mr. Campion. If there's something out there that we do need to go over, we need to we can take that time to do it. I also think though that any concerns that are out there, it is incumbent on those people to participate in the process if they do have concerns. And I'd be curious as to why they hadn't at this point. And I haven't heard from folks within the area that the plan touches of any major concerns. So they are also public, and they are also welcome to participate in the public hearings. And they've had many opportunities, and they continue to have opportunities. But I just haven't heard the concerns.
Mr. Brian,
maybe to summarize, see if everyone agrees with this. I think I saw everyone in agreement. We will send or resend information to the neighboring jurisdictions, the county, by asking if they want to attend the planning and zoning, depending on what happens there, because it could end up, by authority, have to stay there if they went to planning and zoning committee.
They can take as much time as they want, doesn't apply here.
Will the council be able to engage in a conversation if they keep it at their level, or do we have to wait till they move it on to the council?
But the council can't take action until it gets to them. But the Planning and Zoning Commission could table this through various meetings, more than one meeting.
So simultaneously, could the council then hold the COW meetings, conversation? No. Okay, so depending on that.
We can't even discuss it?
Well, you can't take any action on it. I suppose you can discuss it.
Okay.
But the state law says that the planning agency must make a recommendation.
Yep.
So we'll work through that, depending on what the Planning and Zoning does. So we'll do that invite. We'll request by a date specific. You guys start providing us with the details of Mitzi. We'll formulate that and then find those appropriate off council meeting nights for COW discussions. That's what you're doing. And I know because our goal is to try to move this through quickly for you as well. Same time, if there's some key points you need to discuss.
Yeah, and please get us those names of who has the concerns, you know, and what those concerns are as quickly as possible, because I'm certainly not hearing any of them, and some of them we're just going to disagree on, you know, based on the conversation last week. Mr. Hickey doesn't want the social and the environmental justice and social equity in the plan. We're going to disagree on that, but we can make a decision on it and move on.
I guess I don't care so much who it is, but if there's issues that they have, let's bring them forward and get them solved. I really don't care who it is. Let's just deal with the issues and get them done.
One thing that I have as a goal is I still consider the comprehensive plan as a very foundational document for our city, something that will guide us for potentially decades. So in an ideal world, I would really like us to get to that point that when we do approve it at a council meeting, I would really appreciate a unanimous vote at that point. Otherwise, if we don't, we will continue to have those battles on every project or significant number of projects that come forward. So I think it's just important to take the time to hopefully address everyone's concern to a point where they're willing to vote on the plan, even if they don't agree with it in its entirety. Anyone else? Mr. Newman?
I have a question. Mitzi, you already reviewed some of this information with some of the surrounding jurisdictions. Did you indicate that?
Well, in May, we had the 90-minute presentations on the content of the whole plan, with a lot of the maps and everything available. They were invited.
So the surrounding townships?
I will verify that. I'm quite certain they were. We had three county board members who attended those sessions as well. And I'll be meeting with them in a few weeks to give them a brief presentation on the document. We've also sent out the links to the documents to them and asked for their feedback.
Okay.
All right. Anything else for this afternoon?
Just one quick thing. I have four young staff people that are preparing their presentation for next Monday. We are going to time it out tomorrow to make sure they do it well, so I hope they don't get beat up too bad. They're excited, but not sure what to think about this.
We're an intimidating group.
Like,
special
me.
All right.
Good
deal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard?
Oops. Taking your bag with you, Michael.